thank the Lord for being with you tonight and pray for me. The Lord bless. And I've had this on my mind for a while, and especially today. Isaiah 30:21, we want to talk about how to be led by God. This is a deep subject, but I know the Lord can help us to get some real good truth in the Word of God. In Isaiah 30:21, it says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." I was thinking about how in life we are made to make decisions. We are created as free people to a certain point. But after we're saved and sanctified, we have to yield that freedom to God, that we're led by Him. You know what I'm trying to say? We still have decisions to make, and there's some decisions that, like maybe what we eat today or if we go here or there, that may not be something that we have to pray a lot about. But there's some larger decisions in our life that is very serious, and we have to pray that God will lead us in His will. Now, we know it is God's will for us to be saved. The first way that we know God's will is His Word, the Word of God. I don't know, I really don't want to put a number on it. I read this somewhere. It said 98%, 99%, I don't know, 100%. But I'm just saying the Word of God is number one in knowing God's will. Just about everything in life that we come across, we can go back to God's Word, probably 100%. We can probably find out God's will and pray with prayer and reading God's Word. But it says you're going to hear. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's something about the way that God works with His children, and even those that are not saved, for us to get saved, He deals with our hearts. He deals with our conscience. He teaches us which way to go. When we feel like we should go and do something, the Lord talks to our heart, and we hear Him, and He tells us, no, this is the way I want you to go. And this is very important, that we are led by God and led by His Spirit. Otherwise, how are we going to make it? How are we ever going to make it through life? When we get out of God's will is when we get in big trouble. Every single time. If we get out of God's will, even if we're saved people, even sanctified, if we get out of God's will, that's where we're going to have a problem. But we can humble ourselves and restore that. And even if we make a mistake, we can restore that by humbling ourselves to God and maybe to our brother or sister sometimes. Humble ourselves and get back on track. And the Lord, we can learn something from it. We can always learn from our mistakes. But the better for us, never to get off the right path, right? It's better for us to be led by God all the time and stay right close to Him. But we're going to have to do that through prayer. Now, talking about the Word of God, we have to accept all the Word of God. If there's a portion of that Word that we're not willing to yield our will to Him, we will not grow. We will not get spiritual. We will not get saved and sanctified. There is impossible. People that get saved have to turn from their sin. They have to turn from their wickedness. They have to, He said, His ears are open to the righteous and hears their cry. And He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all that's true, and God did die for us. But it's all not on God's part. We have to be willing and obedient to obey God's Word. And when we work with God like that, He has all the plan. His will, God's will, is He laid out the whole plan of salvation by dying on the cross. And then He went further and said, when He left in Acts, He said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. And He said, the Holy Spirit will be with you now. And He did everything to help us to get to heaven, everything. Now it's our decision to yield to His will, and not our will, but thine be done. As Jesus said when He was in Gethsemane, and He was shedding in His tears, And even the disciples fell asleep on him. And he said, you know, why couldn't you watch with me? Why couldn't you support me? In other words, help me out here. But you know, there might be some times like that when people are sleeping on us or not helping us out like we wish they would. But still, Jesus went on. He kept praying to God and he got the help he needed. And the angels ministered to him and he got help he needed. And he just said, but he said, it wasn't really his will in the beginning to want to die on the cross. Who would want to do that? Who would want to wear a crown of thorns? Who would want to be nailed with nails through your hands and your feet? He didn't want to do that in his fleshly part, but he wanted to do it for us. You see what I mean? He was willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Maybe he was saying things like, God, if there's some other way for people to be saved, you know, that'd be a little easier for me. I don't know what all he said to God, but, you know, but not my will, thine be done. But I was thinking about that and I thought, God wanted us to know what a high price it took for our salvation. For us to live free from sin took a high price. And God wanted us to see that and know that. And it was God's perfect will for Jesus to die on the cross that we could be saved. And it's worked for how many years now? Over 2,000 years. All the ages, all the people that were born that wanted to be saved, that blood works. And if we die and the world goes on, the blood will still work for people to be saved. It's a wonderful plan. It's God's will. But there's going to be times in your life where you're going to be tempted by the enemy to go a different route, to go a different way. And you have to pray and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. It may not even be a sinful thing. It can appear, you know, the enemy's going to come in a slightly tricky way. He's going to try to tempt you in something that's maybe not really sin. Not sin. But yet it would get you off the path. It would get you involved. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's moving to a different location. Maybe all kinds of things that the enemy can present to you. And it can look enticing. It can look comfortable. But you know, the Lord just didn't put us in this world to be comfortable. He put us in this world to be workers for Jesus. So there's times that we have to deny ourselves some of these pleasures that's maybe not sinful, but yet God wants to deny some of those things to follow his will. If, you know, I've heard people say, well, it's kind of hot at Monarch. Well, it might not be real comfortable in the flesh, but it's a very spiritual, wonderful place to be at, right? So we have to deny some of our comforts to be where God wants us to be. We can't be spoiled children. We have to be where God wants us to be. It doesn't matter. I mean, we pray for coolness and God gives us blessings and all that. But even if he didn't, we'd still sit there. We'd still sweat. We'd still be there because that's where God wants us. See what I mean? So we want to follow God's will. So when you are tempted, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Proverbs 3:5, there's a scripture over here that says, trust in the Lord with all mine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The Lord gave us a mind, a wonderful mind to think and make choices. And we can figure things out. I mean, there's sometimes I have just figured it out this way and I figured it out that way. And I thought about it this way and I thought, I have the will. I think this is it. And then the Lord comes in and changes my whole understanding and tells me, no, that's not what I want you to do. And I'm thinking, here, I thought this whole out. And I thought this was a good thing. But the Lord said, but no. You know, I remember, if you'll permit me, and you pray for me, I want to stay in the Word of God. But when years ago, and I'm still a realtor, but I'm pretty much getting out of that because I was a realtor to work with my husband. But I was tempted back when I was young to go after it in a more way. You know, we can go after things that we like. And it may appear that it would not be, to most people, a wrong thing to do. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do. It was a blessing for me to be a helper to my husband. But the Lord would only let me go so far with it. Do you see what I mean? Because I was tempted to go farther in it. The Lord showed me, if you go farther, you're going to get out of my will. You've got to stay in, because I've called you to the ministry. I've called you to be a mother. You've got 3 daughters. You've got so much to do already. And if you overextend yourself, it's not going to be good for you spiritually. And so I had to make that choice to hold myself back, beat myself under, and stay in God's will. And the devil, he comes along and tries to tempt us in things like that, even in our jobs, that we go over too far with it, where the Lord wants us to be in his will. You may say a choice like, and I'm not saying there's, you know, I asked Jerry, I said, Jerry, have we ever missed Monarch? And I can't remember. If you remember I missed Monarch, tell me, because I don't think I did. I don't think I ever have. But I know there's situations where people get sick and they can't go. Or, you know, people die in their family and they can't go. I'm not condemning that. But what I'm trying to say, our purpose is to follow God and go where he wants us to go. You see what I mean? Where a great temptation could come up, maybe in a job. They think, well, but I'd like to go to Monarch, but I got this great job that, if I gave up Monarch, I can have this great job and make a lot of money. So what are you going to choose? Are you going to give up that and follow that? I'm trying to say that I have no idea what's going on. But what I'm trying to say is stay in God's will, because your soul is more important. And do the very best you can and be in God's will, be in his service. And it takes consecration to be in God's service. It takes consecration to do anything for the Lord. It takes consecration. And so we want to keep on reading here. It says, trust not into your own understanding, because your own understanding could lead you. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if we acknowledge the Lord, we get saved and we get sanctified. We get baptized. We get sanctified. We do everything. We obey God's word. We read the word. We pray, we read, and we do everything. We acknowledge God by obeying him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We can, and works is good, but we can do works, but we're not doing them in the will of God. There'll be no avail. But when we do our works under God's anointing and under his leading, then God will bless it. That's why in all thy ways, acknowledge him first, and he'll direct you what to do. He'll direct your path and what work you should do for the Lord. He'll direct you that, and it'll be blessed of God. It'll be blessed of God. I've been reading about, the history of some of the reformers and revivals, but they had to be in God's will. And I was reading how this one man today, in Remarkable Miracles, he was being led. Like 4 people had got saved, and then 5 people, he was staying somewhere. They wanted him to stay there and hold a meeting. It looked like that's what he should do. And eventually he didn't go back there, but he said, for some reason, I go and pray, and the Lord tells me to go. It's time for me to go to the depot. And he said, I don't even have all my fare, but I'm going to go to this train depot. So he set out with the man of the house in the wagon, this is years ago, to go to this depot. But what we're trying to get at, God told him to go, but he didn't really know why or what he was going to be doing. Has that happened to you sometimes, where God would tell you to go do something? You weren't sure just exactly how it was going to work out. But as he was going, a man came along with his horse, and it was a man that had talked him really bad in a church service that he had. The man had talked him really bad. But the man was sorry, and he wanted to get saved. And he said, Brother Bevington, he said, stop. And he happened to be this man's cousin. But what I'm trying to say, he started to say, Brother Bevington, I need prayer. He goes, I've been living in hell since I talked to you like that. And I want to repent and get saved. It took hours for this man to get saved. But he just stayed there with Brother Bevan, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And so they prayed so long, he finally got saved, but of course he missed the train. But then he had to go back home to where the people wanted him. But he said, now did I miss the leading of the Lord? He said, no. The Lord told me to go. He didn't tell me what was going to happen. They told me to go. And that was the reason he wanted this man to be saved. He connected them. This is another way of knowing God's will. It's the providence of God. When God opens up doors for you and works it out, and he's got an open door, that's how you know that God is working as God's will. And then there's sometimes you can try to do something and the door will be closed. And you try another way. It kind of reminds me of in the Bible about that donkey, wasn't it? That it just kept on going, you know, and then he kept trying to get him to go, and he kept seeing that angel. But anyway, but the door was being closed. The door was being closed. And so when the Lord closes doors, back off. And say, Lord, you know, I thought this was your will. I was trying to follow your will, but the door is being shut on me. And so I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to just pray to you and ask the Lord to help me to submit to your divine will. It might not be divine, God's divine will for you to do everything you think in your mind. It might not, just not be God's will. He may want to use somebody else. Or he may want to do a different way. Or he may want to take you and put you somewhere else. Or do something else with you that day. Be flexible. There's a scripture that says, with all thanksgiving, of all prayer and supplication. The word supplication means flexible. We as saints must be flexible to God. We just can't have a mind made up. We're going to do such and such no matter what happens, no matter what hindrances come up that day. We are going to this certain place because God may want to change your route. He may want you to meet somebody else on the way. You might think you're going to leave for Monarch a certain day, but you must say, Lord willing, because you know what? God may have you meet somebody on the way. Or God may have you do something else on the way. Or he may have you go earlier or later or whatever. But this is why we say, Lord willing, we will live and do this or that. I'd like to hear more of that. I feel like we really need to submit to God's will and be, you know, I think God said that for a reason. He wants us to be aware that we're not our own masters. We live and breathe at his command. We have no promise of tomorrow. So how can we say, I'm going to live and I'm going to do this and that, because you might not even make it to that day. But if you say, Lord willing, I will live and do this. Lord willing, I will go to Monarch. Someone said to me, I was talking to someone on the phone. I was trying to encourage them to come to Monarch, someone way off from here. And they said, well, they had such and such and such this to do, you know. So they couldn't go. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, Lord willing, if the Lord gives us another year, maybe we can come to the next one. But, you know, we have no idea if this is going to be the last Monarch. I don't know. Or it might be the last one for me. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just at God's mercy. I'm at his will in my life. All I know is I want to get all my portion I can get while I'm alive. Because I need it. I need encouragement. And I tell you what, I need encouragement. I need strength. I need help. I'm not above that. Oh, but Sister Bars, you're a minister and God gives you messages. I'm a human being. I need help from God. I need encouragement. All the ministers feel that way, I believe. They need encouragement. They need strength. They need to be preached to. They need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to be. I remember Brother Salmon said years ago, if you have to borrow money to get to Monarch, he goes, I don't like to tell people to borrow money or go in debt. But he said, if that's the only way you can afford to go to Monarch, do it, because you need to be there. That's the national camp, meaning that's where a lot of saints come from all over, and God's working there, his Holy Spirit. It's not so much the tabernacle or the grounds. It's because the church of God, the people are coming as one, and God's blessing, and the prayers are going up, and God is just there. praise the Lord, he's here too. But I mean, you know what I mean? And he gives us something. There's not a monarch I've ever left that I didn't get something from it. I got some help, some blessing from it. Praise God. So don't lean to your own understanding. Oh, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, there's certain scripture that's come right out and says, this is the will of God. Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, some people in the world today, they say it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to wear those long sleeves in the hot weather and these long skirts. I'm talking about women, but men got to sweat too. They wear long sleeves too. They do. And they, you know, and people of the world think, that's kind of silly. Why do you do that? They don't notice it so much in the winter. But you know, in the summertime, go around and they look at you and wonder why you got that on when it's so hot. 100 degrees in Oklahoma. What you going to wear that for? Why don't you have some short sleeves on? Why I'm saying this? Because I know the most important thing is inside. But you know, we're peculiar people. And they don't understand, but it's the will of God. It's what God wants us to do. He wants us to cover up. You know, and I kind of think about this sometime. You know, people are just, and I've done it too. I've rolled my sleeves up. In fact, I roll my sleeves. And you know, I'm not saying that you got to have it right down to this bone. But what I'm trying to say, people have a tendency to go higher and higher. So if we had short sleeves, it probably would end up being sleeveless. Because people have a tendency of going up. You know what I mean? We just have a tendency up that way. But the Lord, he knows how to bless us. He knows what's good for us. He is so good. He is so great. It's reasonable service. Dedicate your body to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. No sin in your life. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Brother Hargrave, he used to preach a lot. I have one of his messages. Holiness unto the Lord. I mean, he really preached holiness unto the Lord. You got to be holy. It's not just the way you look at us on the outward either. If you don't have holiness inside, that's the most important, right? It all goes together, but God wants you to live a sinless life, free from sin. No sin. No sin will get to heaven. No sin will enter there. We want to keep on God's side. I thought about that so much. I want to be in the center of God's will because I know that's a safe place. I want to be on God's side. So the only way I can be on God's side is to obey his word, right? And to pray and read and do the things I should do. Then I can keep on God's side as long as I live. Long as I live. Praise God. So, and be not conformed to this world. You know, the Lord doesn't want you being conformed to this world. This world is leading people away from God. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the enemy wants to work on your mind. Keep your mind holy. Keep your mind pure thoughts, godly thoughts, righteous thoughts, holiness unto the Lord. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do you know there is a perfect will of God for you and I? Do you feel like tonight you're living in that perfect will of God? Present your body a living sacrifice. That's how you live in the perfect will of God. I remember when I first got saved, the song, I'm just going to read some words, 291. I was up in Michigan. We had a little chapel there. Uncle Ralph and Aunt Dorothy had a little chapel, walkout basement. They made a little chapel there. So when Jerry and I got saved, brother, and some of these people you don't even know, but brother Murphy Allen, Terry Allen's father, baptized us in their swimming pool. But I had a long sleeve dress on. Yes, I did. We got baptized in there. That's where the water, that's what the water they had provided. But Brother Murphy Allen baptized Jerry and I. And we went to this little chapel in this walkout basement. And they were telling me all these things I needed. I was 18 and I had never been with the saints yet. They were telling me all these things I need to do. And it was overwhelming me. And I wanted to be led of the Lord. And it was all right that the saints were telling me these things I need to do. But I wanted to know, was it God's will? I don't understand everything. And they said, you need to be baptized. And this song, I was praying, Lord, help me to understand what I'm doing. Before I got baptized that day, they're talking about it, you know, how to get baptized and everything. And I forgot Brother Murphy. He probably was preaching, I don't know. But I opened to this song, and I started reading it. Down into the flowing river, lo, the Lamb of God we see. There he speaks in clear example. Take the cross and follow me. Gently buried with my Savior, let me sink beneath the wave. Crucified to earth forever, hence alone to God I live. Now the sacred waters cover o'er the holy Son of God. Thus he washed me in that fountain of his sin-atoning blood. Crucified with my Redeemer, now I sink into the grave. I am dead to sin forever. By the life of God I live. Oh, how sweet to follow Jesus in this ordinance to show that we're cleansed in life's pure river, even whiter than the snow. I did that song. Help me. I read that song and I said, I'm ready. I understand. I am ready. It's not the water that washes me. I'm already washed by the blood of the Lamb. But it's a witness that I am being buried with Jesus Christ in this water. I'm dead to sin forever. And alone to God I live. And I tell you, that song helped me to understand. Because in my heart, I'm having this struggle and I'm praying, Lord, help me to understand what I'm doing. We need to understand what we're doing. And we need to do what God wants us to do. Do his will. So it says here, this is the perfect will of God, to present your body a living sacrifice. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It says here, for this is the will of God. Let's read up here a little bit more in the fourth verse, fourth chapter. Furthermore, 1 Thessalonians, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, and this is the will of God. Now, people want to know the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So this is another step. After you're saved and baptized, he wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be sanctified. What is sanctification? It's yielding your will to God's will. It's asking the Lord to have the Holy Spirit come into your mortal body and seal you from sin forever. And you have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to submit to God's will all the days of your life. You know, you're not going to go real far. Salvation's a wonderful thing, but we need the two works of grace. You know, they used to talk a lot about being fully saved. Fully saved. Are you fully saved? Being saved and sanctified. And testify, I am whiter than snow. I am sanctified holy. I've got the Holy Spirit working in my life. I know I'm sanctified. We ought to be able to say that. We ought to be able to say, I know positively the Holy Spirit is in me and working with me, and I am sanctified. And if we can't say that, we need to pray till we get it. I was reading back in some of these books, even today I was reading. These people, and you know what? Back then they had sin, they had problems, they had all kinds of things. Just like there were humans just like us. But when they want, so I'm just comparing some here. But we have good people today. I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying that. I just get some good out of that. How they would pray all night for sanctification if they had to. They were sincere. They were just, if you read Brother Warner's book, when he went to get sanctified, they were praying with him and they were saying, and this sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But they were saying that, like, Lord, help him just to get dead, just dead to himself. Help him to die right here. And I'm thinking, I don't know. The saints, we normally don't do that to people. But what I'm just trying to say, they were very, very strong about die to yourself. Because every one of them has an ugly self. I was telling Jerry, I said, you know, most people, I don't care, most people have a really good side. Don't you think so? Generally speaking, I mean, even in the world, people that are not saved, they have goodness. There's some goodness about everyone. You can look at the saints and you can see lots of good. But don't let that ugly self show up. That ugly self can show up in the sweetest frame. We have to keep that dead. We have to ask the Lord to help us through the Holy Spirit to keep our body under. And the Lord can help us. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. People, you don't want to look at people all the time because if people could discourage you. You don't want to look at people all the time. You don't want to do that. You want to look at Jesus Christ. And look how God is working in those people. And if they make a mistake, don't let that discourage you. Because they're human, and have mercy and forgiveness for them. And be humble and kind and loving to them. I was reading the other day, this man, he was at a wedding and he says, why did you ask me to be your best man? I treated you so terrible in school. I bullied you. I was mean to you. He said, but you won me over. You kept being good to me. He said, why did you do that? Why were you good to me when I was mean to you? He said, because I always heard that if you really love your enemies and do good to them, that you can win them over. And just, right? And some can become your best friends. But you don't work fighting back. It don't work that way. Some people think, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, I said unto you to forgive those. Forgive them that hurt you. Love them which persecute you, that you may be as your Father in heaven. Because I have the rain come down on the just and the unjust. So, praise God. Are you sanctified? The Lord wants to sanctify us. Praise God for sanctification. Praise the Lord that he gave us the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. Let's read this one too. 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God knew we needed something after we got saved from sin to keep us blameless. Praise God! Anybody want to praise the Lord? Isn't this wonderful? To be... Because we could not be blameless on our own. But the Lord saves us and sanctifies us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit and we're blameless saints of God. But it's only because Jesus is in us and the Holy Spirit's in us and he sanctifies us. Praise God. We get so excited about it. Oh, thank the Lord. Deuteronomy 7 and 8. Do you know that the Lord loves you? He loves you. He loves me and he loves you. Never doubt that the Lord don't love you. No matter what trial you go through, no matter how hard it might get, no matter what happens in your life, know this one thing, that God loves you. If you say that to yourself over and over, the enemy cannot discourage you. You say, God loves me. But you made a mistake. You know what? God loves me anyway. He loves me. He sees my mistakes. I remember one time, I've told this before, but I was in, years ago, some brother got up and he was preaching about the truth in the church of God. He got me so excited. And he sat down. I was pretty young. And so I got up and I started saying, exhorting, and I said good things, but I got so carried away. And I said something about long skirts, and I thought, we need to get our skirts a little longer. You know what about Sister Marcia? You got to understand about me. I get excited. Okay? It's my personality. And sometimes I may sound like I'm a little bold, when maybe in my heart, I'm really not. And sometimes maybe I am real bold and I was full of the flesh. I'll admit it. But I'm saying the Lord tempers that and helps me. But I felt like I just was maybe a little too strong on the dresses, you know, after I did it. And maybe I wasn't. But after that, I wanted to go home. I just wanted to leave Monarch. I was just, I just messed up. I shouldn't have said that way. Lord, I just want to go home. And I just want to go home. And I can't even face the saints. I don't want to go out there. I want to look at them, and they're probably thinking what I did, and they don't like it. And I just need to go home. And I was praying, and I went in the cabin, and I started crying and praying. I said, God, can I go home? Do you care if I go home? I said, Lord, no, I don't want you to go home. He said, you get right out there and be friendly. I said, but Lord, you know, I just don't know if you understand how I am sometimes and what I did. And the Lord says, they gave me the song, You Are My Child. I am the child of God. You know that song? I opened to that, and the Lord gave it to me, or he brought it in my mind. You are my child. I understand all about you. That's what God said. He said, I understand. It's okay. You just get out there and be friendly. You can stay right there and be friendly, and this will be okay. You'll get through it. Let me tell you something. If you're going to work for God, you will make some mistakes. You're human. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be a saint of God, you're going to make mistakes. And guess what else? You can't give up. And you can't get discouraged. But you got to ask the Lord to help you over it and learn from your mistakes. Learn how to get victory. Learn how to overcome. The Lord is with us. He loves you. Let's read the scripture about how much he loves you. I've never doubted the Lord's love. Deuteronomy 7 and 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He loved those Israelites. That's why he brought them out. He loved us. He brought us out of sin. He brought us out of the depths of sin. You know, I was testifying the other day. I was born in Virginia. And I was raised with a wonderful family. But you know what? I didn't know any of you. But the Lord brought me to you to be. And I love you and you love me. And God brought me to you to be one of the saints. I don't feel worthy of that. I know none of us really feel worthy of that. Even if you were raised among the saints, you still had to be saved and sanctified. You still had to grow. But you know, we don't feel proud about that. I don't look at people when I'm in stores and sinners and think, oh, you naughty sinners. You naughty sinners. Look at me. I'm righteous. No. You know what I think about? Poor souls. Those poor souls. And some of them look at me kind of strange and I'm thinking, why are they looking at me? So strange. And I think, oh, maybe they just see Jesus in me and I need to be shining. You know? Because God said your light's in the world, so they're looking at me kind of strange. So I'm thinking, okay, but you know what? We got to be the one to be friendly. We need to reach our hand out and be friendly to them. And I try my best to do that. I don't care if I see earrings in the nose or if I see tattoos or if I see whatever I see, I try to look past at that and I look at the soul and I say, hi, how are you? Or whatever I can do, you know, and I try to be friendly and they respond. I'll tell you what happened to me once because you don't know this person. I was on an airplane, sat right down, the sweetest little girl, and she had an earring in her nose. I treated her just the same. I tried not to look at it, tried not to think about it. I just talked to her about the Lord. Before we got through talking, never said one word about that ring. She pulled it out of her nose, and her nose started bleeding. And I said, oh, honey. And so we get her some Kleenex here. But you know what? We don't always have to tell people what they're doing wrong. The conviction of God comes upon them. It amazed me. I thought, oh, Jesus, help her, Lord. But you know, that's what, it's just be friendly to them. Oh, they just need help. If they could be a saint just like us, if they just need to be saved and sanctified. So the Lord, he loves you. He brought the children of Israel, and let's read in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. And thou shalt remember all the way. Now let's read the 8th, let's read the first verse. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Now, I don't know how long you've been saved, but you know the Lord is doing that to us in all of our lives. He's humbling us. He's proving us. He's watching to see if we're going to keep all the commandments of the Lord. There's not nothing that passes doesn't pass his eyes. There's not nothing we go, wherever we go, whatever we do, like I said in prayer meeting, he knows our doubt, sitting in our uprising. He knows there's nothing that we can hide from God. He knows it all together. And he's proving us. It says, I've proven you. I let these things happen to see if you would prove you and to know what was in your heart. Do you think that God might allow a trial come to find out what's in our heart? To find out if we are going to humble down, or are we going to correct it? Are we going to fix it up? Are we going to forgive someone that does us wrong? He allows things to happen to prove us, to prove if you're genuine. What do you want among the saints? Do you want genuine saints? You think, you know, yes, God wants the numbers. He wants lots of numbers. He wants everybody to be saved. But he says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So we may not have as many numbers sometimes, but he wants quality. And he wants genuine saints. That's what he wants. He doesn't want half-hearted people. He doesn't want people that are wishy-washy. He doesn't want people that are living half in sin and saying they're saved. He will not smell in their assemblies. He will not have any part with it. God wants holiness unto the Lord. Only holy people will get to heaven. So we preach it strong because it's the truth. Only holiness unto the Lord. But he loves us. He said, I humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He allowed it. He allowed him to get hungry. And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Maybe he thought that they, you know, they always talked about all those cucumbers and those garlics and those wonderful things back there I had. Maybe he thought they had too much of it. Maybe they had their mind on it too much. So he just let them suffer hunger for a while and figure out, do you think it's most important all these things or living by the bread of God? That's what he said. But then he gave them some manna. Then he gave them later. Said, then they kept crying and gave them so much quail meat. Came out of their nostrils. Oh, he was working with them. But it says here, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell. Did you ever get a hold of that? Their foot did not swell up walking. You be on an airplane for a while, let me tell you. Sometimes your ankle will swell. You know, you just watch it. Especially as you get older, probably. These 40 years, your foot did not swell for 40 years. God showed his mighty, he shows his mighty works right among us. This is the way, walk ye in it. You can look back on your life and you can see all the times that God has answered prayer. He's done things for you. Saints, there's no reason to be discouraged about anything. God saved us. If he only done that, if he only saved us and sanctified, would be even wonderful. And only that, but not even only that, but by the providence of God, he's led us all these years and worked out things for us. And oh, he's just blessed us and just done so many things. It's amazing what God's done. We serve an amazing God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he's an amazing God. He's just amazing, wonderful God. I'm going to turn over to Genesis 50 and 15. I want to talk a little bit about God's will. You will know it by the providence of God in your life. Do you know, I can look back, and it's just briefly say this, but you know, I can look back and remember as a teenager how I prayed for the true church. And I did not know where it was. And I did not know the name was Church of God. I did not have much teaching. But I prayed earnestly with tears till my pillow was wet. God, please, I want to be saved. Lead me to the right church. Do you know I can look back upon that and think, God did it. God did it. And you wonder why I get so excited? Because I think about how I prayed and how God did that. I don't take it as for granted. I don't think of it as like, I don't ever want it to get old. I don't want it ever to get old to me when I go to Monarch and realize that God picked me up. And over the mountain where lonely I wandered, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me and picked me up and brought me. And you know, God's got some more surprises for the saints. We're not going to run out of preachers. We didn't think, oh, these preachers are getting old and they're dying. Don't worry. God has preachers somewhere. He'll raise them up among us or he'll bring them in. But don't worry, because God's got the shoulder. He's on his shoulder, the church of God. And he's got it on his shoulder and he has another shoulder. And whoops, and God is going to take care of the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited. God loves you, and by the providence of God, he's working in your life. Let us praise him and open our eyes and see how he's working with us. Oh, you say he worked with the Israelites. He's working with you and I. He's working with us. We serve a mighty God. Praise the Lord. Joseph said, the 50th chapter, if you ever want to remember this, I'm trying to remember where things are better. Practice these things. You want to remember about Joseph, the last chapter of Genesis 50 talks about Joseph meeting his brothers. You know, we know the whole story, most of us do, but it says here when, in the 15th verse, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. You know how they sold their brother, Joseph. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father to come in before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now this is the secret about providence. When bad things happen to us, we can still get out. And we can still have the victory if we realize that God can still help us. He can still spare us. Joseph got a hold of something. God allowed me to get to this place where I'm next to the king and I can help my brothers with food. It was the providence of God. So then that lessened his feelings toward his brothers. See, he could forgive them better because he realized, I'm not in the place of God. God let this happen to me. So he says here, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. They really did. They thought evil against him. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass at this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted. He comforted them and spake kindly unto them. My, that was a good man, wasn't it? Good man, because he loved the Lord and he was willing to do that. So you see, pretty much think I've got most of, there is so much, there's so much in this, but the providence of God, when God opens the door and he shuts the door, or when bad things happen to us, let's try to remember the scripture. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It might not be good, just like his brothers thought evil against him, but God will turn it to good. If we keep the right spirit and pray to God to keep in his center of his will, he'll turn it to good. And I'm just going to read some of the words of this song. There's a lot into this. Now, time's got away pretty much. But there's a lot into the will of God, and I'm sure I didn't cover all of it. But basically, the word of God, his providence, his closing the doors, his opening the doors, and be willing to submit to God's will and be saved and sanctified. Do the things the Bible teaches us. This little song came to me, and I'm just going to read it. I will be somewhere listening for my name. When the Savior calls, I will answer. Now, sometimes we may think that's only to someone that needs to be saved. No, that's to all of us. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I will be somewhere listening for my name. Sometimes he calls us at home to put away what we're doing and go pray. Sometimes he calls the men on the job, maybe to go get in your truck and pray. I'm just saying, maybe he'll call you to a calling in the ministry or teaching or whatever. But be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right, I will hear. Now see, that's important. If our heart is right, we will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. We want to keep a holy life, a white robe life. So when the Lord calls us to go to heaven, we will be ready. Pray for me.